And don't ever second guess Pastor Tom whether there is a church service on Sunday morning. Right, Tom? Tom and I will always be here. Snow will be shoveled, lights will be on, we'll be ready to preach. So thank you for coming. I'm just going to move right into the talk here this morning. You all get a handout from in your bulletin. It's the notes that we were using last Sunday. If you didn't, please grab that, and if you need a pen or a pencil, most of you serve here, so just you know where they all are, so just go back and get some. Amen. And then we'll pray and get started. You can put the title slide up if you'd like to, Tom. Thank you. It is beautiful outside. I actually like driving in the snow. It's a lot of fun. Right? Yeah, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In case you didn't hear that, Kathy was reading my mind. We love to drive on the road. It's the other people that cause the problems, right? So thank you so much, Pastor Lori. I mentioned this. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your condolences and your support as through this transition where Mom went to be with the Lord. And you know, if you don't know, my mom last Sunday morning went to be with the Lord. She fell asleep and she never woke up. It's exactly how she wanted to go. You know, she lived in her home until the last moment of her life, all by herself. It's exactly what she wanted. She wanted to move nowhere. She wanted to be in the home that Howard built for her and that they lived in. And the funeral, which was last Friday, was their 71st wedding anniversary for my mom and dad. So, you know, God just, he has the timing just down and everything. And it was a wonderful celebration. So thank you for all of your support and all of your prayers and just to celebrate with us. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather together today, this first Sunday of the year, we gather to worship you and receive from you. And we know that you have awesome things for us this year in 2015. And so our hearts are open and ready to receive. We stand here, God, expecting you to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives, transform us. We are in a place of change where you can mold us and shape us into what you want us to be. And so we thank you for having your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go ahead and put that title slide up there, Tom. That would be great. So I'm going to do part two of what we did last Sunday. We started with how God changes us. And I wanted to go through this in a way that it wasn't just like drinking out of a fire hydrant. So last Sunday, I gave you the first three points or the first three elements of what we need to know or be able to do in order for God to change us. How many of you know God wants to change us? Well, if you don't, how many of you know that we need God to change us? You know, one of those answers will be yes. We need God to change us. And it just seems like, you know, you get changed in one area and then God's able to reveal another area. So even if you're in the process of, boy, I've changed so much, you know, people don't even recognize me, you look at your life, and when the Holy Spirit comes and reveals himself to you, you see just how much more he wants to do in your life. You know, I think that when we think of my mom, she began changing. You know, we had some funny pictures up there when she was with some of her old friends and they had cigarettes and they were doing funny things. You know, she did have a BC life, you know. She did have a before Christ life. And even though she was raised in the church, she didn't really have that relationship with God that she had when she was about 55 years old, where she ended up flat on her back and all she was able to do was read her Bible and watch television. And the 700 Club came on. And Pat Robertson was there, and he was saying, the power of God wants to go into your living room and heal you. And she's hearing this, and she's going, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in the New Testament that people got healed. And there's never been a power shortage in heaven. She goes, well, God, if you could do it then, you can do it now. And so she asked God for the power of the Holy Spirit. And right there on her couch, Pat Robertson prayed with her, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, if you don't know the story, a week later, she gathered the whole family around together. You know, me, and I'm a drug addict, and my brothers and my dad, they're alcoholics, and you know, everybody's just, we're all lost, you know. And so she gathers us all around, and she's just glowing. And she goes, I just wanted to gather everybody around and tell you the good news. I've given my life to Christ in a brand new way, and I've asked him for the Holy Spirit, and I speak in tongues.
And we're looking at each other like, you know, and mom's going over the deep end, right? You know, and then a week later she starts eating health food and we knew that was it. So, but she never relented. She didn't relent. This wasn't just some one-time experience and then she was like, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, do whatever. She persisted in believing God for every single one of us and praying that famous prayer, God, do with them what you want to do with them, make them into what you want them to be. And she never stopped believing that she could sanctify her household. And one by one, of course, I was the first one radically changed, probably because I was the youngest, just gave my life to Christ so dramatically. I ended up going into the ministry. And then my dad began to come along, and he began to go to the conferences with her. And he ended up studying his Bible and became, you know, an elder in the church and a leader and all that. In fact, most of you might know that when we built this church, we put my dad's Bible right under this platform here, and it remains there to this day. And we have a picture up there of my mom dedicating and praying over the sanctuary and putting my dad's Bible right under this platform. So there's a lot of heritage here with the people who have gone on before us. And I really do believe that in my life, the Lord has always told me, don't ever forget to honor those who have brought you to the place where you are. I mean, and that would include my kindergarten teacher. That would include the Lutheran pastor that I had when I was growing up, people who taught me the Word of God, even though they were only on a certain level. Always honor and respect those, no matter what kind of transition you have made in your life. Always be respectful and honor those mentors and leaders that have poured into your life over the years. And that's one of the things that we've learned here. Now, what I felt, Pastor Lori and I felt for this year, is to take you through a 50-day campaign on transformation. And it's going to start January 18th. And so for the next two Sundays, it was last Sunday and these two Sundays, is the preparation time. We're going to prepare you to go through a 50-day campaign of transformation, spiritual transformation. How many of you would like to grow? Well, I believe you have to focus. And the 50 days is going to give us those 7 or 8 Sundays where we can teach on 7 different areas of your life that God wants you to change in and grow in. And some of them, you know, may be kind of personal, but that's where we have to grow. Some of the areas where we need the growth the most are the places that we keep the most secret and we hide the most and we don't want anybody to know about. But God knows about all of it. And what I have learned is some of those areas that we need to grow in that nobody knows about except for us are the areas that keep us from growing in the other areas. I mean, we do have to break free, like that song says. We have to let the Spirit of God break free in our hearts, in our lives. So those are going to be the next two Sundays until the 18th, and then we're going to launch into the 50 Days of Transformation campaign, and I just encourage you to really participate in this. One of the things I've challenged everybody to do, and I'll do it here and on the tape, is to read through the Bible this year. You know, every day, take about 15 or 20 minutes, get one of those one-year Bibles that are out there. We have some out there. You can give us a $5 or $6 donation if you'd like to for these, and then you can have one of these. And it's all done. All you have to do is just go by date, and it gives you a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a psalm, and a couple of Proverbs, and you can get through the whole Bible in a year. And tell you what, it's a wonderful experience because God begins to really speak to you as you get a larger perspective of what he said in his word. Now, I had this quote that for 2015, we don't want to be in between. It works. It's you don't want to be hot or cold. You don't want to be in between. You want to be either hot or cold. You don't want to be in between, like lukewarm kind of a thing. So I would just say, since you're not cold, you know, just allow the holy fire of God, because that really is what purges us and purifies us, is the holy fire of God. And we can't change ourselves. So, you know, sometimes we like to white-knuckle it and say, well, I'm going to really try this. But what we have to do is yield to God, and we're going to learn again today how God changes us. So if you have your notes, I'm going to review the first 3 points. If you hadn't filled them in, if you have, then just bear with me for a few minutes. But we have 6 elements where we need to give ourselves over to God in order for us to be transformed. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 there in your notes, as God's Spirit works within us, we are being transformed. See that? to become more like Christ, which is the ultimate goal. This change from one degree of glory to another comes from the Lord. So transformation is a process. And I think that of all the things that we need to do is we need to be patient with ourselves. We need to have as much grace for ourselves as God has for us. Okay? Can you receive that today? I mean, you just need to be gracious to yourself. You're going to continue probably to make some mistakes. You're going to continue to struggle with some habits that your flesh has been used to. But just give yourself some grace and say, Lord, I want you to continue to change me. Lori's going to sing a song at the end of the service today before we do communion called I Want to Change. It's one of the first songs she recorded. Never ended up on any of her CDs, but she actually recorded this. And it's a beautiful song about really praying this prayer. So I believe the Holy Spirit will honor that prayer if we pray it in faith. And we have a habit of praying this prayer every day. God, make me into what you want me to be. And just making that confession like Mom Wilkie did. I don't care if I get my way or my say, as long as you get your way and your say, which really is the essence of becoming like Jesus. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, right? And so becoming more like Christ really does mean that. Okay, what real change means is I'm going to do things that my flesh doesn't want to do, but I know it's what will glorify God and honor him. So transformation has a ongoing process of starting to change some of your habits and allowing the holy conviction of God to say, okay, I want you to read your Bible every day. I want you to get into a habit of it. Take a half an hour and read through the Bible. Of course, that's just like the start. You know, it can expand to study and memorization and prayer and all that as well. Have a habit of prayer, praying the word of God back to God, and then a habit of believing him for what he wants to do in your life that day. You know, one of the prayers that we pray a lot when we get together in the morning, Pastor Lori and I, and sometimes it's not a long prayer, it's just enough to say, you know, we've got a hold of God together, order our steps so that wherever we go and whatever we do today, not only are we where you want us to be, we are going to be who you want us to be when we get there. Isn't that good? And because of that prayer, we can anticipate that the people we meet and the circumstances we're engaged in have something to do with God's destiny, because we've prayed the prayer that God's will would be done as he leads us throughout the day. And so have a habit of being full of faith in your day. So the first requirement for transformation, number one there, is mentoring. I won't go over this. We taught it last Sunday, how important having a mentor in your life is. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, he's given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. All right, so that we can come to maturity and so that we can grow. And really, that's what we need to understand, is that we need to put ourselves under the word of God. It's this expression that I've learned in churches and with the teachers I've had. They say, you have to sit under the word. And this is what you're doing. You're sitting, and the word's going forth. You're sitting, and it's kind of a way you express it. You're sitting under the word. You're being filled up with the teaching of a ministry gift that God has given you. As a pastor and a teacher, I am, to teach you what the word says. And it's helping you. And so we need that from evangelists. We need that from apostles. And as Pastor Lori stands in the office of the prophetic, you know, and whoever that would be, we learn and grow from mentors. And this isn't just teachers. I mean, we have a lot of teachers on TV with our media now and tapes and books and all that kind of stuff. But it's a hands-on thing where you're actually in a fellowship of believers receiving the word of God. And that's why it's so important to be in attendance. Because I don't know if you didn't know this, Revelation, that Pastor Lori and I, most of the time, will be teaching line upon line, little bit here, little bit here, so that every Sunday will be another addition to what you've learned last Sunday. So you keep growing. And we've been on a journey as a local church for 25 years. I can tell you what that journey is and how God uses the messages to help steer the life and the purpose and the vision of this church through where we're going and what we're doing. And if you're missing that, you're really not a part of the vision of the local church if you're not hearing the word that's going forth from the pulpit. because the combination of the word is here to equip you to carry out the vision of the church. It would be like any minister that is helping to equip you. It's partly because that they have a gift to teach you a certain thing to help you live your life. It could be prayer. It could be in an area of fasting. It could be in the area of healing. But it's helping to equip you to carry out some things that God wants you to do. The second requirement for transformation is learning, number two, learning the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Use the truth, Father, to make them complete. Your word is truth." The word of God is the only ultimate truth. There are forms of truth that come through other ways, but the word of God is the truth. Jesus said that here. And so we need to be able to ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to reveal his word to our hearts so it's applied to us. Okay? This happens through the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 is really the kind of the theme, keynote scripture for the entire campaign of transformation. Be renewed. What does it say? Oh, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Not being conformed to this world, but be transformed. So I think that what he's saying, Paul is saying there is, you're either being conformed to this world, or you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have to make that choice. Okay, the world is talking, but the Holy Spirit's talking too. Okay? The world is always talking to you. And the world talks to you through all kinds of ways. Not just the media, but through your friends and relatives and through culture and everything that we do. But the Holy Spirit's talking too. And he can tell you things to come. He can show you what's even going to happen so that you can be transformed to be even ready for the things that he wants to do in your life. So you're not feeling like you're catching up with the Holy Spirit all the time. So get the truth of the Word of God into your heart, and particularly in the renewing of your mind. The third thing we talked about last week is the transformation requires new thinking. New thinking. You have to change the way you think, because the way you think determines your feelings, and your feelings determine your actions and your decisions and all that. So it really does begin. The battlefield, as Joyce Meyer would say, is in the mind. If you want to change your life, change your thinking. The battlefield is in the mind. In fact, that's a good thing to study if you've never picked up her book, her teachings on that. That is a tremendous revelation that we get. So our thoughts affect our attitudes, and our attitudes affect our decisions. So the changing of our thinking will change our life ultimately. And our thinking really is changed by what we focus on, what we put into our mind. You know, the in a computer, whatever you put in a computer comes out. And your mind is kind of like that. Stuff that just will come out of your mind is stuff that you've put into it. Now, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance everything Jesus said, but we have to have known what Jesus said for him to bring it to our remembrance. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. So if you're looking for something that makes sense, it's not necessarily going to come from the people around you. I mean, I can sit down and somebody can have a totally clear, common sense explanation for why they're doing the wrong thing. It seems like a good idea at the time. I mean, people can talk themselves out of the will of God so easy, because most of the time they're thinking with their feelings. They're thinking with their common sense and not spiritual sense. And so Paul says, if you want to be transformed, Ephesians 4:17, don't keep living as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused in their thinking. See, I believe if you're not yielded over to the things of God, to the Spirit of God, your mind will get dark. You will think thoughts, ungodly thoughts, and you will try to make sense of those. You will try to make sense of the world. You will think, well, you know, you'll just say things like, well, if God really was this way, then this would happen. And, well, then there must not be a God, or I don't even know, or I don't even care, you know, and there's so many people like that today that they're not even atheists. They're just apatheists. You know what an apatheist is? One who doesn't even care if God exists. And they're the hardest people to reach. At least you could talk to an atheist, because we actually disagree with us. Talk to an apatheist, they go, well, I don't even care what you're telling me. I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. And their minds are darkened. They're foolish. And they'll do foolish things, and they'll come up with reasons why they think it's a good idea. Right here, like this. So you got a clean house. Sometimes there are things you know, Pastor Lori does a good job of meddling, doesn't she? Sometimes when she's up here. I mean, she just gets right to it. And you feel like she was at your house last night or last week. And she was listening to your conversations and all that kind of stuff. That's the prophetic gift. I will just say this. Cleaning house means you just need to take inventory of what you put in your mind, of what you're putting in your spirit, and what you're putting in your body. You got to take inventory of this. Now, Ephesians 4:22, the scripture that I want to read to you here, it says, so get rid of your old self, which made you live as you used to, the old self that was being destroyed by its deceitful desires. You know, sometimes we have these desires. We don't know how deceitful our desires are. Because when we have a desire, we just try to justify giving in to that desire. You know, there's another word for desire, and sometimes I don't like to use it because people get it mixed up with a certain activity. But another word in the Bible for desire is lust. It just means a strong desire that tries to give you such a strong craving that it's hard for you to resist doing it. You know, and some of you may have that desire with food. You know, you just have this desire. How many of you want to lose any weight this year? Okay? I don't want to, but I need to. Okay? Now, if you raise your hand and said you want to, I don't know what world you're living in, because if you wanted to, you'd already done it. I want to so that when I walk through the daycare, the little girls don't go, you got a big belly. Little girls do that. You got, Pastor Tom, you have a big belly. And then I go like this, and I go, where? Well, we all have a body weight that we're supposed to be at. We all have a health weight that we're supposed to be at. And I understand that, you know, we all have different metabolisms and all. But in terms of a strong desire, we should be conscious of the fact that this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We should try to at least do some things that are healthy for us. A little exercise, a little control over, you know, the intake of our food so that it, you know, isn't damaging to our lives. I'm sorry, we're not taking comments. I'm up here. I'm sorry, Janice. I didn't mean to be rude. And so Ephesians 4:22, Paul says, get rid of your old self. Get rid of it. That's called house cleaning. You've got to get rid of the things that are really bad for you. All right? You got to get rid of the things that you put in your mind that are really bad for you. You've got to get rid of the things that go into your heart that are really bad for you. You know, the Bible even says, guard your heart with all diligence. Sometimes you can't be around certain people, all right? Because you have to guard your heart because they're going to try to dump all kinds of garbage in your heart. They're going to be talking about all kinds of negative things about other people. They're going to defile you. You know, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your mind with what goes in your ears and your eyes. You've got to guard your body with what goes in your mouth. And depending on what you want to change and what area of your life you want to get healthy in, you may have to just get rid of some things. I mean, some of you have, like, you hide certain candies in your house somewhere. You have, say, oh me, amen, or oh me. I heard a preacher say that one time. You know, I know this because my mom used to hide chocolates in places. You know, I'm telling her stories now. I opened the refrigerator one time. This big candy bar fell out. I go, Mom, what's this all about? She goes, oh, that must have been your father's. I said, Dad's been gone for a while. It was funny. But we have to get rid of some things, you know, that are bad for us. It could be junk food. It could be mind food. It could be heart food. It could be, you know, sometimes you may need to cancel a cable channel. Sometimes you may need to just stop reading certain magazines or watching certain programs. You just got to get rid of stuff. Then it won't even be a temptation, hey? So to be healthy, to be strong, to be really spiritually alive, some stuff has to go. It just has to get out. Someone said, the glory of God is a human being who is fully alive and fully healthy. Now, I understand we get attacked with certain sicknesses, but a lot of times we bring those on ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We bring those on ourselves by not getting rid of the stuff that is making us sick, spiritually, emotionally. We have to be aware of that. And this is part of transformation, is getting rid of some of the things that are not good for us so that we can make room for the things that are. And then that's the process of transformation. Get out, do the house cleaning, and then you can bring in the things that God wants. Now, if you want to have a healthy mind, you do have to make a choice on what you're going to read, what you're going to watch, and what you're going to listen to. And these are very important things because they're all accessible to us. And yet all the things that aren't healthy for us are accessible to us as well. And sometimes they look a lot more interesting than the things are healthy that are healthy for us. You know, that's one of the criticisms I have on about Christian television. It doesn't seem very interesting sometimes. Sometimes network television or cable television seems a lot more interesting. You know, they have a lot more money to spend on special effects and all this kind of stuff. And then you watch Christian programming, and it's not quite that way. Well, it's getting better. I mean, God TV is, you know, getting better, and some other stations are getting better. But whether it's more tantalizing and more interesting or not, you've just got to make a choice. I'm going to watch, and I'm going to listen to, and I'm going to give my attention to the things that are of the Word. Not of the world, okay? Okay. If you want to grow. And you have to do the same thing, not only with your attention, but with your resources. Brother Norval, when we used to travel with him, he'd always say this, and he would talk about his books and tapes. And, you know, he rarely gave anything away. And I asked him one time, I said, you know, you rarely give anything away. He says, well, because if I give something away to somebody in America, he says, they think it's not worth anything. He says, I sell it because then they think it's worth something. And then he'd always say to people, he says, you know, I've got my tapes back there. He says, you know, this tape is $5 or $10. He says, you're going to go to McDonald's and spend $5 or $10. He says, so what do you want to be, a Christian or you want to be a cheeseburger? But it's kind of the truth. You know, whatever you invest in helps you become that thing. You know, sometimes I'll ask like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to buy this resource because it's going to be costing me $15, $20, $25 in order to get that resource into my life. And then I'm always thinking, but yeah, but I just spent $20 doing this thing. And what do I have to show for it? But if I just maybe cut out some of the other stuff, maybe if I fasted 3 days this week, I'd have an extra $20 to spend on a good Christian resource or a good worship CD. So do whatever you need to do to put yourself to have the time, the strength, and the resources to get the Word of God into your mind. Now, once you do that, you have to make a choice to put your mind on those things. Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is not in your notes. You can write it down. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, that's the choice that we have because nobody tells our mind what to do except us. And we put our mind on those things, okay? And that really will change and guide the course of your life. So, you may want a clean house with those things. You may also want a clean house with, and I have this in my notes here, with your daily schedule. Sometimes I think we let the world run our lives. We let everybody else run our lives, and we don't take control or set priorities for what we're going to do in our life. I've noticed that when you make a decision to read through the Bible in a year, you notice all of a sudden how much you're not in control of your schedule. Because you look back and go, oh, I missed 3 days this week. Well, there's only half an hour. What were you doing for one half hour those days that you couldn't stop to read the Bible? Let me put it this way. If you had to go to the bathroom, you would stop. Maybe you need to put the Bible next to your toilet. I'm sorry. Or one of them. At least you start there, and you can finish somewhere else. Are you still in there? Yeah, I haven't finished my Bible reading yet. So part of spiritual transformation is learning how to prioritize your life. I would say, do less of the life-draining things and do more of the life-changing things. Do less of the draining things and more of the changing things, the things that are going to change you. The Word of God changes you. The news will drain you. You know, what happens all over the world, it really isn't going to affect you. What everybody else is talking about in politics or the news or this person or the Kardashians did this or that or Hollywood's got these, that's really not going to affect you. What will change you is the Word of God. So you do have to get rid of those things and prioritize your life. And the first of the year is just the greatest time to do that. When I say the first of the year is, you just make a decision. You're not going to carry all that stuff into the new year. You're just going to pick up the new, you're going to drop those bags and you're going to pick up the new ones. The bags of commitment, the bags of priority, all right? The bags of faith and diligence and, you know, you're just going to go clean in 2015. There's another one. Okay? So whatever it is that you got the bags, confess it to God, get rid of it, and don't pick it up. Okay? All right? Just pick it up. Don't pick it up. Just go on with God. Get rid of that stuff that's holding you back. And here is Hebrews chapter 12, 1. It's in your notes. You must get rid of everything that slows you down, especially any sin that distracts us, so we can run the race that lies ahead of us. I love that version of it. I mean, God has an exciting race for every single one of us. He really does. And, you know, life happens on the race, but you know what? It doesn't matter. If you're running the race, sometimes you'll run over problems that used to stop you in the past because you're running. A lot of Christians like to walk because they think it's a lot easier. It is. But God wants you to run the race, not walk the race. You're harder to stop when you're running. In fact, sometimes the devil can't even catch up to you. Your goofy friends certainly can't. Pastor, I have no goofy friends. Just start running the race. We'll see how many of them follow you. We all have goofy friends that are coming to God and getting rid of their goofiness. See? Well, we're goofy too sometimes, aren't we? So God has an exciting race for you, but get rid of the baggage that's keeping you from running it, keeping you from really staying focused on what God has for you, and then ask the Spirit of God for help for you to run that race. Now, just a couple things in your notes here. How many of you know that it's pretty easy to pick up bad habits and it's kind of hard to get rid of them? Well, in the notes here it says, well, why is that? And I just have a couple reasons here. First of all, because most of your bad habits are hard to get rid of because, number one, you've had them for a long time. You've had them for a long time. And it just feels like they're a part of your life. How many of you have ever tried to get rid of a bad habit? More than once. 5 times you've tried to get rid of a habit. 10 times. In other words, you just forever you've just tried to get rid of the habit. Just you're still trying to get rid of the habit 25 years later. But it just seems to be every once in a while you just give up. And then you got to start all over trying to get rid of it. And then you maybe didn't make it, and then you try again, and then maybe, and now here we are, 2015, you're going to come clean, and you're going to get rid of it this time. Well, it's because you've had it for so long, it just seems to be a part of your life. It just seems like it's so familiar to it that it's a pattern that you use in your life to try to compensate for other hardships or other pressures or other things. Maybe it's even an addiction, or maybe it's something destructive, and you go, you know. But when it happens, you go, well, it's because there's so much other pressure. I just have to go do this, spend all this money, or blow at my top or be rude to people or take these chemicals or whatever, and these bad habits, it's because you've just used that as an identifier of trying to cope with the rest of life. It's one of the reasons. You identify with them. That's the second reason. You identify with these behaviors that have become a part of your personality. And people have even called you by these habits. Well, you're kind of impatient with people. You're kind of short with people. And these are just habits that you formed in your personality type, but they're not like Jesus. And Jesus wants us to change those things. And so we can't confuse with who God's created us to be with our behavior. God's created us to be like Jesus. What our behavior has to do is submit to who we are. And so we can say, even though I did that, that's not who I am. Even though I acted angry, I'm not angry. I mean angry in a bad way. Even though I acted impatient, I'm not impatient. Because I am possessed with love, and love is patient and kind. So we have to renew our mind to that, and I believe that when we perceive ourselves as being the way God said we are, it helps us then when our flesh wants to behave that way to say, that's not who I am. And we need to get rid of the old man, the old self that behaves according to those habits. And the third reason why I believe we have a hard time with those habits is because we feel like there's a certain reward with those habits. They can be, like I said, comforting, enjoyable to our flesh. So we feel like we're getting rewarded if we do those bad things. Negative behavior can seem to be pleasurable while we're doing it. And sometimes it's the only way it seems like we get what we want out of life. Just being controlling. Just being angry. Just being self-focused. You know, you got to look out for number one. These negative behaviors. And this is not what Christ is like. But we think that's how you get what you want out of life, by these negative habits, because they seem to have a reward. And the last thing is that Satan fights you. Satan fights you trying to overcome these bad habits. He uses your negative sinful habits to keep you in bondage. And this is why most of you know you want to get free of bad habits, because there's a certain bondage that goes along with it. There's a certain bondage that goes along with me eating all that pizza or malted milk chocolate chip cookies or whatever else my daughter secretly makes for me and I hide so nobody can find it. My wife always finds it somewhere. So what are you eating? Where'd you find those? Those are mine. We laugh about it, but sometimes it's not that funny. People finding our little secret stuff, taking it from us and confronting us. I mean, that's where we find some of our... And Satan says, well, you know, you deserve those little sinful pleasures. You know, he helps to keep you addicted and angry and greedy and jealous and insecure or something. He just helps to convince you that that's just the way you are and you'll never change. And maybe you hear a voice of a parent or someone who's always told you, that's always the way, that's where you're going to be. You're always going to be this way. Or maybe in your mind, you just think, I've tried to change. I can never change. And Satan just picks up on that. And these emotions are just like kind of cemented. But you've got to change the way you think about yourself. And you've got to tell him to go, tell him to get out. You're not going to listen to him. You're going to listen to what God says about you. That your path is going to go brighter and brighter. That you're going to break free from these bondages. That the Holy Spirit's going to help renew your mind, strengthen your spirit. That he's going to order your steps. That he's going to burn out of you the selfishness and the self-centered thoughts and behaviors that cause you not to become like Christ and keep you in bondage. So if you want to make a commitment to change, to become all God wants you to be and be transformed, I believe God will just jump right in there with you. He'll just jump right in there and with you, and he'll help renew your mind to these bad habits and cause you to become an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are an overcomer. Love never fails. I mean, God strengthens me. He leads me. He empowers me. I'm going to let those things go and help and ask the Holy Spirit to help me become what he wants. Number five, the transformation, the element of transformation needed for us to change. Number five, transformation requires honest community. In your notes, Ephesians 4:25 says this, and I believe it's from the Message Bible. It says, no more pretense. You know what pretense is? It's pretending. No more pretending, which is one of the number one behavioral functions of churchgoers, pretenders. We're going to church today. Make sure everybody knows that we're, yeah. Just 5 minutes ago, we were yelling at our kids, but when we walk in the door, everybody's holy. no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth, your brother and sister the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. So if you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Woo. Wow. Now, the reason why we lie to each other and we pretend in church, you know why? Because everybody's judging us. We don't want anybody to judge us. You want actually to come and tell somebody how you're what's really going on? Well, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I'm a human being. I got up this morning. That's what happened to me this morning. I got up, and I haven't totally been perfected yet in Christ. Would you like to pray for me? Since I was so honest to tell you that I was having trouble in this area, that I'm having an issue with this, that I know how to forgive a person, that I'm living under condemnation. I mean, sure, if we can come to church and not pretend, we could actually get some help. Now, I understand when you walk through the doors, you want to make an announcement like, you know what? I was thinking about committing adultery this morning. Or whatever the issue would be. You don't want to come in and make the announcement in front of the entire congregation. So what you want to have is a church where, like we believe here, is where you can get together with a group of people and you can be honest, where there's an environment of safety where people won't judge you. Because I can be responsible for a certain amount of people at Spirit Life Church because I've helped them learn not to judge the people that walk through the doors. But there may be some other people here who haven't had that opportunity for me to train them to get rid of their judgmentalism. And there may be some people who judge us if we come in and we're not pretending a little bit, at least. But there's a place where you can go, and it's what we call our life groups at Spirit Life Church. It's a small group of people where we get together where what you say in that group is confidential, and the people there can pray for you and encourage you. And you can kind of come clean. You can be open about the secrets that are keeping you in bondage, where God can then bring some healing into your life. And this is what honest community is. This is what honest community is. Paul says there are things that you're never going to change on your own if you're pretending. You need the people of God around you in your life to help you. So nobody can really become what God wants them to be in isolation. Sometimes people think it's harder to do what God wants you to do by being in a local church. And there are challenges with that because the church is full of people. But if you get into a place where you're with a group of people that love you enough, that won't judge you, that will allow you to share your needs and your issues and your problems, that will pray for you and support you, there's transformation in that environment that comes no other place. No other place in that environment. So I strongly encourage every person at Spirit Life Church and anybody who might be listening to this to participate in one of our life groups that are on Wednesday nights. Now we're starting them up again on the 14th, and we're going to be going through the messages we're talking about on Sunday, specifically in the areas where we want to change, breaking habits. And we're going to try to set it up in a way where you can come and be authentic and be real and not have to pretend and say, I really need prayer for my children or this habit in my life or a fear or an anxiety I have or whatever it might be that you're struggling with. God wants to help you receive from the other people who he lives in. Because sometimes you got to have flesh and blood, you know, not just faith in a God that you can't see. You got to see Jesus with skin on. that somebody could hug you and encourage you. And I'll even say this, some people who can look at you and hold you accountable. All right, hold you accountable. And go, even though they say, you know, it's not as bad as you feel, you know, even if it is as bad as you feel, you still need to stay in the game. You still need to not throw in the towel. And they can be there to help walk you through that and challenge you. The Apostle James says this in 5:16. He says, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. Now, we love to confess to God because we know God's always going to listen to anything we tell him. But you know what? I believe real healing for some things only can come when we confess our sins and our faults to somebody in flesh and blood. Somebody that knows us, that we can trust, that can see us face to face. And that's where healing comes many times, that it can't come from anywhere else. So help comes from being with others who love us enough to hear our faults and pray for us and not pray on us. I love that expression. Yeah. Because believe me, I understand, Christians have a habit of praying on people. Those little judgmental, insecure people that call themselves Christians who can't do anything else but talk about other people's faults. Shame on them. Stop it. Knock it off. That's not what Jesus does. Okay? You're destroying people's lives and churches by doing it. Okay? Start encouraging people and saying good things. Pretend you're at a funeral every day of your life that the person next to you is dead. Just say good things about them. Would you talk behind their back if they're in the casket? No. Well, we're here today to say goodbye to Mary. She was an idiot. Couldn't stand her. She never did anything right. I don't think so. Anyway, I got that off my chest. It's what you're all thinking too. So Spirit Life Church is meant to be a place where you can mess up and people don't rub it in. They rub it out. That's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to rub it in. Jesus came to rub it out and help you through the difficulty. Okay? There will never be a church or a Christian or a spiritual leader or anybody on this planet who does everything right. In fact, most of the time, they're not doing half the stuff right. They don't even know it. They're still not doing it right. But what is right? What is right is being able to say to God and to the people around you, I need help. To be able to be humble enough to say, God, these are the things I'm dealing with. Help me through them. And we as believers need to come alongside those who are willing to be humble enough and say, help me through those, and lift up their arms and have their back. Have their back. And that really is one of the philosophies that we have at Spirit Life Church, because it's a place where we want people to be able to come who need restoration, who need transformation, who need change, who need healing and hope. That no matter what their background is, or even if they've been saved for a long time and they mess up, they can still come back and receive help and hope. There are two kinds of people, those who admit they need help and those who don't. There's another word for that, proud and humble. Those who pretend they're perfect and those who admit they're not. So Ephesians, Paul says, no more pretending. Ephesians 4:25, no more pretending. Stop it. Just tell your brother and sister the truth. I need prayer. I need help. You know, we spend so much of our time wasting our lives pretending. And really all it does is it keeps us from change. When we're pretending, we're not changing. And it takes a lot of energy to pretend. You know, some people wish I would pretend a little bit more than I do. You know, so talk to me, Pastor Tom, I think that, you know, you should as a pastor, you should do this. I said, well, I probably should as a pastor. I'm still growing. At least I'm not pretending I'm something. I'm not. All right? So stop pretending. Start being real with those who can help you. Tell your brother and sister the truth. Now, again, we're going to be doing these Wednesday night life groups, and I encourage people to come out and be a part of them. It's a 7 o'clock. We're upstairs on Wednesday night. We'll talk a little bit about the message that we did on Sunday. We get together with our life group leaders, and we pray with each other. We talk about the things. And it's a safe place where if you actually share what your secrets are, you won't be excommunicated. You won't be rejected. And sometimes we just have not told anybody anything because every time we open our mouth, it's rejection and judgment. That's what we're used to. And so it's just a habit of silence. And we live in our own little lonely world, broken, and there's so much potential we'll never rise to, because the part of God that needs to come out is just bottled up because we're trying to be something we're not. Trust me on this. If you are allowed to really be delivered and receive restoration for the things that are keeping you back, you'll become something that in God that you never could have imagined. It's awesome. Let me give you the final one here on number 6, the sixth element for change needed. Transformation requires faith. And just to say that Paul says in Ephesians 4:25, "Now by his mighty power at work within us, God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to even ask or dream or infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes." This is what God wants to do in our life. So basically, we can't even comprehend what God wants to do as his Spirit works within us. So just think this morning as we finish here. What kind of dreams and desires do you have for this year? Have you even dared to think what could be possible this year for your life? What kind of things you could be a part of in your life this year? What you could do for God? How you could affect other people's lives? Maybe be a part of a ministry? Maybe be able to accumulate enough resources where you could actually affect another person's life through your giving, or a ministry in the church through your giving? Or maybe you could really rise to a level of ministry where you could help instruct other people. Whatever your spiritual gift is, what kind of dreams and desires do you have for this year? Have you even made a list? I would say make a list and just say, "God, you said above and beyond what I could desire, what I could dream. I always dream. I always desire. I always have a list of things that I'm saying, God, this is what I can imagine. You can do beyond what I can imagine." And then just put your faith in that. Trust God that his word is true. Whatever thoughts or hopes or desires or prayers that you have, allow God to use those in your heart to really believe him for some big things. Let's bow our heads for a minute. I just want to pray with all of you and just pray that prayer of commitment. And then Pastor Lori is going to come up and we're going to receive communion here as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity today to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. You want to change us so that we can be a part of changing the world. You want to change us so that we can change those around us. You want to change us so that we can be your vessel and your mouthpiece. Maybe your hand of compassion that reaches out. Maybe a vessel of of love and kindness to somebody who's always been rejected and put down. Whatever it is, God, that you have for our life, it's bigger than we can even imagine. So help us to break out of our own insecurity this year, of our own habits, of our own lifestyle, and let this year of 2015 really be something beyond what we can imagine. Lord, we yield ourselves to you right now. We pray the prayer that you would change us and you would make us into what you would want us to be. Have your way in our lives, we pray. We agree here. Have your way in this church. Let Spirit Life Church become what you want it to be. Let it reach the people that you want us to reach. I pray for the resources that we can have to do the things that you want us to do, to reach out to the people that you want us to bring deliverance to and help and healing to. Father, we thank you for it. We know that you're going to do it. And God, right now we just put ourselves in a place to receive from you as we receive this communion this morning, that your body and blood that was given to us would help our hearts be more connected with you. Lord, I thank you for your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and your body that was broken for us that we might be healed.
We receive of your goodness and your redemption today. In Jesus' name, amen.